Hi, it's Alan. I have an interesting guest today. If you are Burundian and on social media, you have probably come across his name. Maybe you've seen him on Facebook, maybe you've come across his video, his wildly viral video in which he talks honestly about how much he loves the president of Burundi. Yes, Paul Henri is my guest. He is Burundian, but has been living in Canada for the past 10 years. He is also the founder of SAID, which stands for Standing Against Ethnic Division, a project which aims to take on divisions related to ethnicity in Burundi, obviously one of the biggest issues we face today. I talked to him today about that video. Yes, Ndamukunda Mwibang. What made him do it, and what has happened since the video. Stay tuned. Today.
I'm doing good, thanks. How about you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for doing the show. I appreciate it.
No problem. It's a pleasure.
Awesome. So let's get into it. Everybody that listens to this podcast most likely has seen your video. But before you released it, I follow you on Facebook. And other than the organization that you started, Standing Against Ethnic Division, there's nothing on your social media that showed or indicated where you stand politically until that video was released. And I think to some degree, that's why your video received a lot of attention. Can you walk me through your thinking process as you prepare to record and release the video?
Thanks for the question. Just to say in the beginning, when it concerns Burundi, yes, I was born in Burundi and I left there like more than 10 years ago. I loved Burundi, but I wasn't that concerned about the country. So I would say that in the beginning I was indifferent, and especially when it comes to politics, it's not something that I always was interested into. So I was indifferent, like even concerning the president, I didn't dislike him, I was just indifferent, I didn't have nothing to think about the president or the government, I was indifferent. But then the situation started to change in 2015, when there was the turmoil with the coup d'etat that happened on May 13th, and that's when I started to be concerned about Burundi and to really take it to heart and to start analyzing the situation that was occurring in Burundi.
All right.
And after what happened in 2015, I am a person that loves justice and that is uncomfortable with injustice, to the point that when I see injustice happening around me, it bothers me, and I cannot stay quiet or cannot do nothing, but I have to come out of my comfort zone and do something or say something. So that's where everything started, and that's how I came even to do that video concerning the president.
Thank you for that. Now, you've mentioned a lot of things here there that I would like to pick up on. One was the 2015 crisis, and you mentioned the coup that happened on May 13th. But prior to the May 13th coup, there'd been protests in the capital, and many people, including young people our age or even younger, had died at the hands of the security forces. So I'm just curious as to whether that, before the coup, whether that did not affect you at all.
It definitely does affect me. If I go back a little bit, a few years before, like 2015, the first time I went to Burundi, it was in 2011, since I left. And when I went there, I heard people, many people were around me, were talking about the situation in Burundi, and most of the, like all of the things I heard, it was negativity, it wasn't good things, it was negative critics. But when I was looking around, I saw that there were some positive change that happened since I left. I was like even looking at just looking at the view of the capital city of Bujumbura. I saw it was looking nice, and also I noticed some other changes that were positive. But I was kind of surprised that nobody was mentioning them, but they were just mentioning the negative things. So that caused me to be a little bit suspicious, if I can say, and I started to think that it might be biased, you know, the opinion of people around me. But then the more I was listening to those critics, and the more like the saying of people started to speak louder in my mind than the reality that was seen in place, which caused me to be more critical toward the government and the authority, and caused me to be to have like a bad energy or bad view of the government. But then in 2014, I went also there for vacation in Burundi, and I came back in January of 2015, just a few months before the protest and everything. So, but then when the protest happened, and I've seen the atrocity, the pictures that were on the social medias of dead bodies lying on the streets, and the messages from people saying that it was all because of the president announced that he will run for presidency again, to become a president again. And so that didn't help, like my view. That's how I said even in my video that I was disliking the president before, because it was harder for me to not dislike him when I was seeing and hearing all these things on social media. It was more natural and easier for me to dislike him. But then I'm a Christian, so what I did that time, I was praying with my fellow Christians, people who were praying with, and we were praying for Burundi. And so then for the peace, for everything to come back to the normal. But then on May 13th, when the coup d'etat happened, personally, I was devastated. I didn't see it as a something of to be proud of, or something like a victory. I saw it as something as shameful. And so I remember I heard the news. I was at work, and when I was at work, people, like Canadian people who are not from Burundi, they came to me and said, "Oh, we are sorry to hear what happened in your country back home, the coup d'etat." And they were actually having compassion for me, saying, "You know, it's not a good thing what happened." But to my amazement, when I left work and I went to my fellow Burundians, I saw a totally different reaction. People were celebrating, people were rejoicing, they were dancing, and I was shocked, to be honest, because, as I said, for me, it wasn't something to be proud of. It was a shame that a coup d'etat happened, because we've seen it in the past that a coup d'etat, that wasn't the best solution. So when I saw the reaction of people, that caused me to doubt them. It caused me to, especially the people we were praying with, when I saw them rejoicing, I said to my mind, if I knew that we were praying for a coup d'etat to happen, I will probably never join myself to pray with them, because that's not something that I really were agreeing with. So the event of 2015 on May 13th, it was kind of an eye-opening event for me. And that's where the shifting started to change, of the way I started to see, you know, the government, the president, and even people of Burundi. Mm-hmm.
All right. I want to challenge you for a bit, Poanri, because I hear what you're saying, but the Human Rights Watch reports that as many as 350,000 people have left Burundi since 2015. There is over 1,000 people that have died. There is clear evidence that the current government and its security forces are responsible for these deaths. And there are thousands and thousands of others who have been tortured and or detained, some of them that I know personally. These are facts. As someone who is a Christian, someone who's Burundian, and who, as in your own words, loves justice, how do you reconcile your love and open support for the president and the acts of the government? How, just try to help me understand.
Thanks for the question. I've said that when the coup d'etat happened, the reaction of people caused me to doubt. You know,
what were you doubting? Let's go back a bit. So you see the reaction of the coup from your friends, and obviously, I can sympathize as someone who's Burundian based on the history of our country. A coup d'etat, I can definitely understand why you'd think that a coup d'etat isn't the best thing to happen to us. Absolutely. Now, what were you surprised by?
So, when I said that I started to doubt about what people were posting and were saying. I started to doubt the numbers of the dead people. I started to doubt about the numbers of the people who were fleeing the country, because at the end of the day, I found out, I did my own research, and I found out that all these numbers, big numbers of people who fled the country or who died even, it was biased. It was false information.
So you don't believe that over 350,000 people have left the country? You don't believe that over 1,000 people have died since 2015? Do you have other numbers? What numbers do you have? And I'm just wondering, and I'm wondering also where you're getting those numbers as well, because I think the media in a lot of ways can be biased, but I'm just actually curious as to what media do you follow? Where do you get your information that is more... more reliable than what we have?
Yes. The information that I got that are more reliable are the information of Burundian people who are living in Burundi, not Burundian people who are not living who are living outside of Burundi. And so just to go back, when I was like in Burundi, like I said, every time that I went to visit, I was noticing good things, positive things, and also negative things. But then I was surprised to see that most of the people that I hang around with, they were only seeing the negative things. And if I would describe in one word the case of the president, for example, one word that could describe the best for me is defamation. And if I give the definition of defamation, it's the dictionary says it's a saying or a writing about a person or about a thing, even a situation, that injures the reputation of that person or of that thing, that destroys that reputation in such a way that it prevents others from associating with that person or with that thing. So the synonym of it is calumny or character assassination. And defamation, the reason why I say that it is what can describe the situation or the case of the president is that people have said things and people have posted things on the social media that were, overall, I can say, false information, that were lies. For example, so many things that they said. I even witnessed it myself when I was there. last year in 2017, I went there and I had those WhatsApp groups, you know, where people were posting bad things. I remember I was there in June and then I received that message saying that, you know, in Bujumbura things are chaotic right now. They locked up all the roads. Nobody can go in that neighborhood. But then I was there. I said, you know what? Let me go and check myself. And then I saw nothing happen. It was all calmness. It was tranquility. Nothing happened. So, and this is just one of the examples. So to say that defamation is so serious that it gave a bad image, like it destroyed literally the reputation of the president of Burundi. But I'm glad right now because recently, after what he declared that he wouldn't run for the presidency in 2020, his image started to change. And even the people of the international community, they started to see him differently. They started to realize, oh, he's not that tyrant that some people try to portray of him, like that tyrant or someone who is killing his own people and someone who wants to stay in power at any cost. So that was an undeniable proof that he is not that person that people have tried to portray about him.
All right. I want to go back a bit to the video. There's something that you said for me that was a little bit of interesting. You mentioned that in your video that you disliked the president or you were indifferent to him, but you didn't have concrete reasons to dislike him. It's been a few months now. Have you thought about why you might have had like an implicit dislike for the president?
Yes, sure. The reason why I disliked him again is because of he has been a victim of defamation, or like the saying, just the fact of saying people around you saying negative things about a person, it will cause you naturally to start to hate that person or to dislike that person. And that's where everything started, just by listening to negative report about him and to being constantly exposed to negative things and those murderers that were putting on his back that, as if he was the one responsible of it. Then it was very easy to dislike him, and it was even more natural to dislike him. But then I realized after I started to have doubts, you know, I said, you know what, I'm going to start to do my own analysis. And the first thing first, I realized I never actually listened to him or to his speech or watch him like having a speech. So I said, you know what, let me just start even listening to his speech. And the more I was listening to him, and also I started to realize his accomplishment in the country and what he did since he was in power. And that helped me to have a conclusion that, you know what, they've been lying about him. And he's actually been, the reason why he's being criticized is because he brought a lot of reform, a lot of change in the country, and that is normal that they are criticizing him because he's been trying to bring change and reform in the country in every aspect, in every domain of the society.
All right. It's always interesting for me to meet people that think Nkurunziza has been great for Burundi. Just quickly, can you give me like three things you're the most proud of that he's done for Burundians?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sure. For the first thing that he did that I really appreciate and many people appreciate that for education, for the children, he put a politic that every child under 5 years old, you will go to, sorry, not under 5 years old, but every child from in the primary school, they will study for free. There will be no fees to study for the primary school. And also, every child that was 5 years old and under, they can be treated in the hospital. They can be treated for free. There is no fee for them to pay. And that is for the children in Burundi, and that is a big thing. Many people are grateful for that. And the third thing I can say, the mothers who are pregnant, they can be treated for free, and they can also give birth for free, which is something that to not take it for granted. It's not every country in Africa or even in the world that has that. So he brought those three things, and I can even say more, like the way he, for example, the way he's really into agriculture. And I remember when he planted, he is the one who introduced the plantation of those avocado. It was greatly criticized in the beginning. People were saying that they don't taste good, they're not good enough as the old ones. But now, when I went there in February, people were saying they are the best avocado ever in Burundi. But it took many years for them to actually appreciate that. But which is something normal. When someone introduces something new, people tend to criticize it, but after a while, people start to appreciate that thing.
Awesome. Now, you made the president this year, correct?
Yes, I did.
Can you tell us how that meeting came about and what you guys talked about?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thanks again. Early this year in February, I had the privilege to meet the president, and when we spoke about a few things, but in general, our conversation was, just like I said in the video, that I wanted to meet him to apologize for have mistaken him or misconceived, I didn't look at him the way he was, really. And so the first thing I did, I apologized to him in my personal way. And also, we spoke about the importance of loving the country and of the importance of knowing the culture and the history of our country. If someone needs to serve well the country, he needs to know the history of that country, and also to, in order to love that country, we need to give value to our culture, to the traditions and to the morals. So in general, that's what we spoke about.
Awesome. I'm going to switch gears a bit for the last segment. This is a more light segment, but I like to call three things. So what are your three favorite places to visit in Burundi?
Yes. First of all, I'll say my native city, which is Bujumbura. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful city. There is the lake Tanganyika, there is the beach, there is a lot of touristic place in Bujumbura. I went also, I remember where in my childhood, when I was in high school, I went to Ngozi, and I really, really enjoyed myself there. And it's also a vibrant city. And even for the youth who like to have a party time, they can go to Ngozi. I really like that place. And I didn't go to many places in Burundi yet, but so far, I'll say, especially like up country, I didn't go to many provinces. But another place that I can say it's at Rutana. I went to Rutana to see the falls. Mm-hmm. Carrera is really beautiful. There is a lot of natural beauty there. Like it's green. It's the falls are beautiful. The hills are beautiful. So I wish I could go to all of the provinces, but I believe that it will happen one day, because I know that Burundi has a lot of potential in beauty and in nature.
For sure. You have your organization standing against ethnic divisions. Since you started it, what three things have you learned from your work with that project?
So since we started with that project, me and some of my friends, the things that I've noticed is that when we talk about ethnicity or the ethnic groups in Burundi, it is not clear. It is not something that you can pinpoint onto the like its definition. It is so not clear that at the end of the day, it becomes confusion. It becomes confusing because people, the way they define ethnicity in the dictionary and the way they define ethnicity in Burundi is different, because in Burundi we speak the same language, we have the same culture, and we even look alike. But the criteria that they use to define the ethnicity, it is not clear, even its origin, when it started. So that's why when we were, you know, trying to fight against the division among ethnicity, we saw another criteria that is actually more unifying, which is family or a clan. That is more unifying. Burundi is even older than the history of ethnicity. When we talk about the families, like personally, I found out that I was from the family of Abaganwa, and I saw that when we have like events in the family, I see that there are Abaganwa who meet and they do something together. And I saw that it was more unifying and something that Burundi should actually teach, you know, this generation present about those families and those clans, that they are very important, and it's a very important key for the unity of the Burundi. Yes.
Awesome. Well, Paul Henry, I would like to thank you very much for taking the time to come on the Allen Show and being honest and talking to me about a bunch of different things. I really appreciate it. And I hope you can come back on next time and talk some more.
Thank you so much for having me, and I will be glad to come back. I really appreciate your work, Allen, and keep on doing the good job.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye. All right, everybody, that's it for today's show. Thank you very much for listening in. I have the same usual asks. If you like the show, please let me know so that I can pat myself in the back. If you don't like it, also let me know so that I can make it better for you. And yeah, share the podcast on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, WhatsApp, whatever your favorite social media is. And thank you very much specifically this week to my cousin for helping out with the production of the podcast. We'll talk to you next time. Cheers.